The Holy Gospel, the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, comes from the Gospel of Luke in the 15th chapter. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and her neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is more joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. There's something a little bit ironic about our gospel reading today. Jesus declares that the one who loses a sheep rejoices when he finds it. 1 out of 100, and he rejoices. And in the same way, a woman with 10 silver coins rejoices when she finds the one that she lost. But then they invite their neighbors together and ask their neighbors to rejoice for the finding of that which was lost. I wonder what you serve at a meal when you're rejoicing over finding the lost sheep. Leg of lamb, perhaps? And how much money would it cost to offer refreshment to those who have come to celebrate the recovery of this silver coin? I have to be honest, I'm not an expert on first century economics, but a silver coin sounds like it'd probably be the right value to buy a pretty decent skin of wine. We look at these scenarios and we look at what celebrating could look like, and for us, maybe practicality sets in. It would have been just as well had these people cut their losses and not bothered to find that which was lost. It took time, and the value of what they lost wasn't that significant. If I had $100 in my wallet, I'd probably not be too concerned if I lost a single dollar, and I definitely wouldn't make a big deal out of them finding it. But such is the joy in heaven. Such is the joy in heaven that even the insignificant is worth rejoicing over. Such is the joy in heaven when a sheep that is lost becomes found again. And joyful it is. It's joyful because, as we all well know, each of us gathered here today is a child of God. It's joyful because each person on earth is also a child of God. It doesn't matter how lost that person is, but when that person is found, when that person turns back toward God, if even for a brief moment, I believe that there is a great deal of rejoicing in heaven. For all God's children have value, and that value is such that it cannot be measured. That value is such that all rejoicing that happens is to excess. And thus, the irony of the celebrations listed in our gospel. It's not the cost that matters. It is the natural excess of the joy of all heaven as those who are lost return to God's arms of grace. It's hard to believe, though, that this is the same God that we read of in our first reading this morning. It's almost as if God has forgotten God's promises to the Hebrew people as he encounters these stiff-necked people who have begun to turn from him in the wilderness. To be blunt, God threatens to roast all of them, not a lamb. And not only that, God is willing to give up all claim to the Hebrews, placing the responsibility for them solely on Moses. God tells Moses, "Your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely." As if it wasn't God's idea to rescue Moses' people out of slavery. Now, I'm not sure if you all heard it, but I hear echoes of the conversations my parents would have when I was an especially willful child. "Your son." But Moses reminds God of the promises that were made. Moses reminds God of who God is and what God's responsibility is for these people. Moses asks God, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? These aren't just Moses' people. These are God's people, and they are lost. They are confused. And if we know the story well, that Moses has been away from them for many days now, and the people are beginning to think that maybe they have been abandoned. Perhaps Moses died on the mountain where Moses is talking with God. Maybe that explains why they are beginning to stray from the path. And we are told that God, who has already invested heavily in these people, is convinced by Moses. God's mind is changed. We are told that the Lord turns from disaster and toward mercy. And in the process, there is an opportunity for much rejoicing. It seems as if our unchanging God has changed, hasn't it? It seems as if God's mercy and justice is revealed different. Instead of simply relenting from harm, deserved though it might be, God also rejoices when the lost return. And truly, if God were vengeful every time God's people turned from the path that God intended for them, there really wouldn't be any people left for God to guide and rejoice over, would there? We all sin. We all fall short. And perhaps the lost sheep that God rejoices over today is us. Perhaps it is us who have been at risk of God's wrath, but instead find God's eternal grace given to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if we have been the lost sheep that heaven rejoices over, it makes me wonder, how are we still lost? Because let's be honest, it's not as if we've repented once for all and now we have it all figured out. I have the feeling that if I were a sheep in God's holy flock, I'd probably be wandering off at least once a week. Well, okay, probably almost every day, and that's being a little bit generous with myself. We all fall short. We all wander from the path and get lost. And yet it doesn't remain that way. The Holy Spirit prompts us to repentance. The Spirit guides us back into God's arms of grace. For we who have been lost are never forgotten. And God never truly loses track of us. Even in our being lost, God has already found us. We are found through the gift of baptism that we are given. We are found through the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who indeed has sanctified all the world through his death and resurrection. Truly, I tell you, this day there is rejoicing in heaven for you. There is rejoicing in heaven for you, for me, for all of us. For we are constantly both saint and sinner. We are constantly seeking the wrong things and finding God there waiting for us to carry us home. And as all heaven rejoices in the goodness of God that continually saves us, we are invited to carry on the celebration as well, this day and every day. For I tell you all, we are all invited to rejoice. The kingdom of God has come near. We are invited to rejoice, for those who were lost, maybe are still lost, are found in the resurrection promise of Christ Jesus our Lord. So I invite you all, rejoice with me. Rejoice, for God's goodness has already been made known through Christ Jesus. Rejoice with me, for we who only deserve God's rage have been given God's mercy. Rejoice. And in our rejoicing, May it be that all the world may come to know that through the grace of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, they too are found, loved, and rejoiced over. Amen.